grace that he gave, unworthy to hold to his hand. Amazed that a king would reach down to a slave, this love I cannot understand. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone, but he made me worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own. My sorrow and sickness lay stripes on his back. His scars caused the blood that was shed. My faults and my failures have woven a crown of thorns that he wore on his head. Unworthy am I of the glory to come, unworthy with angels to sing. I thrill just to know that he loved me so much. A pauper, I walk with the King. Unworthy, unworthy, a beggar in bondage and alone, but he made me worthy, and now by his grace, his mercy has made me his own.
Amen. Standing with God because he is worthy. I forgot, as I was mentioning folks to pray for, do be in prayer for Larry Lee. He fell and fractured his wrist, and so he's healing up. We miss him. Pray for him, and that's no fun. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me again to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll dismiss our kids to their children's church at this time. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to be picking up in verse 23, the second part of what we were studying last Sunday. Hebrews 11, verse 23, and by way of review, when studying the life of Moses last week, we learned some things about this well-known giant of the faith. We learned that one of the things that rose to the top, mentioned twice in this passage and demonstrated in his life, is that of fearlessness. Due to his strong faith in God, Moses was able to obey in faith, not fearing the obstacles in his path. We saw in verse 23 that his fearless faith was fostered by his parents. It didn't just spring upon the scene. Look at verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and because they were not afraid of the king's commandments. His parents obeyed God by faith, not fearing the king. And though he was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh, he was raised by his mother. The faith of his parents moved them to obedience and took root in his heart. And We brought out the two truths. One is the truth of training, that if we desire to raise godly children, we must live godly lives, fostering that in them. Secondly, the truth of investment, that those of us who maybe don't have children in our own house, or maybe they've moved away, or we have grandchildren, or a different capacity, if we desire the next generation to serve God by faith, we must invest in their lives. Look, you can be irritated, or you can be motivated. We can avoid them, or we can invest in them. Only one option makes a difference, and you know which one it is. His fearless faith was fostered. But we saw next that his fearless faith rejected early fame and fortune. Look at verse 24. He rejected the fame and fortune of the world, and he embraced the identity of God's people. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's not a big deal, Pastor, to embrace the identity of the world, to blend in. Well, it is if it's the pleasures of sin. The Word of God refers to it as a compromise and the pleasures of sin. It's not okay to do that, to obtain temporal relief or temporal satisfaction. And he did this because he saw that God's favor was worth more than the world. It says there, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. See, the reason he did this is because the favor with God, God's blessings in eternity, was more important to Moses than the temporary pleasure that came with compromise of sin. His faith was growing. And as we finish the biography of faith today, we'll see who he did fear. He didn't fear man, but he did fear God. And not coincidentally, as his fear in God grew, his fear of man shrank. His fearless faith also went on to affect some folks. When we fear God alone, our fear of other things, men, circumstances, failure, even death, becomes less of an obstacle to our obedience. When our fear of God rules our life, we can submit to His commandments by faith. We can trust His power to overcome anything in our path. The fear of God and faith in God are inseparable. I want to preach to you the second half of fearless faith. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, please guide us this morning. Help us as we study your word. I pray that these truths would move our hearts, that we struggle with these things every day. We want to live for you by faith, and yet sometimes we fall back and we don't know why. We get frustrated with ourselves. The obstacles in our path seem too large. I pray that you would help us this morning see that we must step out in small steps of faith. Just taking the next step. And allowing you to show your faithfulness, your power, so that you will be exalted in our mind. And as our faith in you grows and our fear of you grows, that our fear of the world and of failure and what man can do to us will shrink. Dear Lord, that we might seek to influence others in the same way. That by living an example of a life of obedient faith, it would go beyond our own life. We ask you for that this morning, please. Help us. In your name I pray, amen. Notice, if you would, please, in verse 27, the next point about Moses' fearless faith is it grew to overcome his fear of man. Now, I use the word grew because Moses was not always like this. Fear could have been a major obstacle throughout his life. In fact, at the age of 40, Moses did something that most of us are aware of. He chose to identify with the people of God. That's good. But he thought that the people of God would see him as their savior. I mean, after all, he's in Pharaoh's palace. He looks like an Egyptian. He has special liberties. He can come to and fro, and they're being beaten and forced to build pyramids, and not Moses. Listen to what Stephen says about Moses. It says, in Acts chapter 7, seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him. Moses went out one day and he saw an Egyptian taskmaster beating one of his fellow Israelites. And he looked around to make sure he was safe, and then he smote and killed the Egyptian. Now, I've heard people preach against Moses. You know, he did this and he looked and tried to get away with murder. He did nothing less than what you should have done or I should have done. If somebody's being victimized, we should step in and save them. All right? But his faith was in the wrong thing. And it says this, he avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that by God his hand would deliver them. So he smote this Egyptian and he says, see, I'm your Savior. But they didn't see it. They didn't understand. See, the people of God didn't have enough faith in God at that point in time. Slavery was too big in their eyes, and Pharaoh's power was too big in their eyes. And they looked at Moses and they said, you're going to get us all killed. Or if they disobeyed, they said, what are you going to do, kill us? They had too much faith in other things, didn't have enough faith in God. And Moses, he had too much faith in himself. So when the Pharaoh threatened him, you know what he did? He fled. Look over at Exodus. Hold your place in Hebrews and turn to the book of Exodus chapter 2. Listen, when your faith is in self, it will get shaken pretty quickly, pretty easily. There's a question in the Word of God. It says, I will not fear what man can do unto me when my faith is in God. But friend, what can man do to you? Well, he can do a lot, especially if your faith is in self. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, I'll begin reading, just follow along. It says, it came to pass in those days that Moses was grown, and he went out unto his brethren, and looked upon their burdens, and spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews. Remember, Stephen said he thought, oh, they're going to accept me as their leader. You know, we'll have stage an uprising. That's not what happened. Two of the Hebrews strove together, and he said unto him that did wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian? And Moses, what's that word?
Feared.
See, he did struggle with fear. And said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. He ran for his life. In Midian, he spent the next 40 years tending sheep and raising a family. In Egypt, he became something, but in 40 years of Midian, he learned he was nothing, just a shepherd. From the house of Pharaoh to watching sheep. And you know, at the age of 80, it took him a while to learn a lesson. You ever feel like you take a long time to learn lessons? Yeah. Well, if you're not 80 yet, you've still got some time. All right. Look over at Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. At the age of 80, God appeared to him. Moses came face to face with Almighty God, and God stepped in. Verse 1, God tells him some things. He says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was not burned, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh thither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of thy people. I've seen which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down. I've seen, I've heard, and I'm doing something about it. I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, bring them unto that land, unto a good land, a large that floweth with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. God said, I'm going to come down and do something about it. Praise God! But then look what he says in verse 9. I'm here. I'm going to do something. I'm going to send you. Moses, the man who ran for his life, who's been hiding out, a refugee from the law for the last 40 years. Now therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel, come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bringest my people, the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses had already failed. He realized that faith in self was not going to cut it. And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be my token unto thee, that I have sent thee when thou hast brought these people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain." That's where he received the Ten Commandments. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me unto you,' and they shall say unto me, 'What is thy name?' What shall I say unto them?" You know, he had already tried this. They rejected him. Oh, it's you again, 40 years later. And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you." By the way, the title here, Jehovah, was revealed first to Abraham years before this. And God said moreover unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you, and this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I'm sending you." Who are you, God? I am. And then in a series of signs and wonders, in a series of systematic plagues, you know what God did? God took this man who had lost all faith in self, who had been a refugee from the law for 40 years. He took this man and step by step, little steps by little steps, he showed to Moses and to the people and to Egypt that he alone was God of the universe. The false gods of Egypt were not, but I am. And every time Moses stepped out by faith, every time he met with Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, by the way, God protected him. And God demonstrated his power. And you know what happened? Moses' faith grew. Though he couldn't see the invisible God, he saw the work of God, the faithfulness of God. And every time he obeyed, his faith in God grew. And every time God was faithful, Moses' fear of man shrank. See, fear of man is something that we must grow to overcome, but it only happens as our faith in God grows. I ask you to turn back to Hebrews 11, because look at verse 27 there. It says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king." But I thought he was afraid of the king. Well, I'll tell you what. He was afraid of the king. That's why he was on the backside of the desert. But as God worked and God moved and God stepped in and judged Egypt, by the time the 10th plague was there, Pharaoh was the last thing that Moses was afraid of. He was able to lead the people of God out. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Couldn't see God, but I've definitely seen him work, and I know he's more powerful than you. See, fear in man will bring a snare, and it will keep us from obeying God. I think of the words of Proverbs. It says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." And that's true. What can man do? Well, fear of rejection, fear of isolation, fear of failure, fear of violence. That's very real. Fear of shame. All of these are potentially the outcome when you and I serve God, when we do what God commands us to, when we take a stand for God, share His word, choose not to be a partaker in the things of the world, choose to change our life. You may face some real repercussions. It's valid. It is. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you. Moses could fear that. But I want to tell you something as well. Here's the truth. All those things that you're afraid of, they still happen to people who don't take a stand for God. Amen. They do. See, compromise is not a safeguard against rejection by a fickle and changing world. Did you know that? Compromise is not a safeguard against the devil's attack. If you compromise, the devil's not going to go, "Whew, I'm not going to mess with them anymore." That's not the way it works. See, listen to the words of 1 Peter. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Don't go to the world. They're still being accomplished in those people. He didn't quit attacking them. See, we've accepted the lie somewhere that if we live like the world will accept us, God will forgive us, and everything will be okay. That's not true, Christian. That's simply not true. The devil will still seek to destroy your life. The world will never be satisfied with your compromise. You're going to have to keep compromising more and more and more, and you're not going to please God. In fact, if you're a child of God, he's going to chastise you. Living like the world and compromising doesn't safeguard you. It doesn't bring pleasure. You know what it brings? Misery. See, the truth is this as well. When you do step out by faith and serve God, the world may reject you, but God will always be pleased and bless you. Amen. In this life and in eternity. And really, that's what we're living for. And so that verse in Proverbs says, "The fear of God bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." And Moses grew to understand that. Obedient faith in spite of fear. In spite of fear. You know what it does? It causes the fear of man to shrink. And so between leading the people out of Egypt and God speaking to him at the burning bush, you know what happened to Moses? He took steps to obey God in spite of the fear. God, I'm afraid to speak. God, I'm afraid of what's going to happen. I'm afraid they're going to reject me. And God says, you go, I'll worry about it. And so he obeyed in spite of that. And you know what he saw? He saw the power of God. Through the plagues, standing in the presence of the most powerful man in the world. You know who he saw was more powerful? God was more powerful. And he says, wow, you know, I'm catching on here. When you step out in obedience, Christian, when you do so in spite of fear, well, Pastor, that just makes me feel uneasy. I don't know if I can do that. A little bit at a time. Fear is natural. But when you see God step in, that fear becomes something you go, wow, I can't believe I was afraid of that. Children are afraid of some things that we as adults, we kind of smirk at, right? You were too one day. And you had to overcome it one small step at a time. And the fear of man is overcome as we grow in our faith of the Lord. See, as you see God work in your life, you see his faithfulness, you see his favor, his power, his answered prayer, you see his presence. It will become greater to you than the threat of anything else that others can do. The psalmist says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what a man can do unto me." Moses, his fear of man shrank as his fear of God grew. But I want you to notice, secondly, in verse 28, his fearless faith came from a fear of God. That's really what it ties it to, because it tells us he didn't fear the king, but then it tells us he did something because he was afraid of something. Now, it doesn't use the word fear here, but it might as well. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that, what's that word there? Destroyed. I'd be afraid of destruction. All right, that's death. Destroyed the firstborn should touch them. This is really what grew as he saw Jehovah God judge the false gods of Egypt. These gods that they worship, the gods of cattle and the gods of frogs and the gods of the sky and the gods of the sun. And he saw God judge those and exercise his power, that as the size of God grew in his eyes, the fear of God did as well. It grew to the point that he feared God alone. I believe a fear of God comes from an accurate vision of who God is. In other words, if you really see God do things in your life and in this world, if you really know who he is and how big and powerful he is, and you don't fear him, that's foolishness. If you see him and you do fear him, that's simply called wisdom. Okay, that's the right response. In fact, that's what the Word of God says when it comes to the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. You know what it's saying? Those that are obedient, you know why they do it? Because they kind of understand the way things are. His praise endureth forever. The psalmist David said that. David's son Solomon, gifted by God with wisdom, he makes a similar comment in the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and Proverbs chapter 9, saying that the fear of the Lord is clean, the judgments of God are true and righteous altogether. See, when we see God for who he is, and Moses did, and we see ourselves for who we are, the world for who the world really is, it puts things into perspective, and we realize God is a God who we can trust, and a God who we should fear. And everything else, I really shouldn't be afraid of that. What can it do to me? Do you realize man can only do what God allows him to? Yeah. It's interesting because Pharaoh frequently was referred to as Ramses. Some of you might know that, okay? Pharaoh thought he was an emanation from God. The word Ramses comes from two words, Ra and Mesis. Ra means the sun god, and Mesis means to give birth. And so his name means that the sun god gave birth. They thought that he was a birthed god incarnate. The incarnation is not unique to Christianity. They thought that it happened with him. Now, the fact that it happened is very unique to Christianity because it never happened except through Jesus Christ. But they thought that he was an emanation from God. That's why the last plague on Egypt, you know what it did? It smote the firstborn, including who? Pharaoh's house. And you know what Moses saw and Israel saw and Egypt saw? They learned that the God of Israel was true and the God of Pharaoh was dead. Man can only do what God allows him to do. But on the other hand, God can do everything that he wills to do. And Moses saw that and he learned that. I think of the words of Nebuchadnezzar, another very powerful man who had to learn this. It cost him a lot. And it says, at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. Mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. This is a Babylonian king who said that because God stepped in and showed him, hey, you're nothing without me. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? We don't have the power to reproach God. Hey, what are you doing? No, that's not our place. God can do everything he wills to do. Man can only do what God allows. And so as a servant of Almighty God, the God who loves us, Christian, listen, what God promises to do, he's going to do. You can trust him. What he says will come to pass is going to come to pass, whether you can see it or not. And by the way, that includes his judgments. And when he warns of judgment, we ought to, we must fear him. And Moses learned that, and he says, my fear of God has grown, my faith in God has grown, and he observed the Passover. He trusted God's faithfulness. He feared God foremost, and so he took God at his word and obeyed. And it says there, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. The fear of man brings a snare, Christian. It'll bring compromise and complacency, but you know the fear of God, you know what it'll bring? It'll bring a holy life. Psalm 19, the fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of God brings holiness and obedience. You know what that means? It means this. If there's disobedience in your life and you're aware of it and living with it, you fear something else more than you fear God. What does your obedience say about who you fear? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. That's a hard question. See, Moses' fearless faith came from a fear of God, and it might be that you fear something else more than God, possibly because you need a closer vision of who God really is, to take a step back and learn some perspective. Next, we see in verse 29, Moses' fearless faith helped him do the impossible. Impossible! Look at verse 29. Something that you would never desire to do. Now, there was more than one way out of Egypt. They could have taken different ways, but when God guided them, he guided them into a trap. If you read in the book of Exodus, God actually guided them into a place where they would be backed into a corner. And he did so for a reason, to show them he was capable of the impossible. Moses, he learned that he was nothing. He learned that God was everything. He learned that God was greater than any obstacles, and so he could lead the children of Israel through the greatest obstacles, having faith in God. In fact, verse 29 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea, through as by dry land. They didn't pass through a place that was really shallow, okay? God guided them to a place, and they were like, oh, he showed us the secret footprints, and we're not going to drown or fall in quicksand. That's not what happened, all right? It was the Red Sea, and they passed through as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drown. That proves to us that it wasn't shallow water, not the shallow end of the kiddie pool, like some commentators want to say, okay? The Egyptians drowned. Now, folks, many things are impossible in your strength. The longer we live on this earth, the more that we're aware of our limitations. Are you with me? And sometimes we gain more limitations the longer we live on this earth. You say, I can't do what I used to do. Not as fast as I used to was. If the life you live, if your Christian life is lived in your own strength, if the missions in your life are your missions, you will have many limitations. Sickness, all of us are one sickness away from the hospital. Poverty, you're one failure away from losing your house, your car, your 401k. Well, Pastor, I got a 401k. Yeah, well, if the stock market tanks and they renege on that, you could lose it. They're losing it in foreign countries. Accidents, obstacles, they can all stop us in our tracks. Many things are greater than our power. But what's greater than God's power, Christian? Nothing is. And when we see that, though a Red Sea is in our path, we don't need to despair. Several times in the New Testament, Jesus says this. He says, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He says again in the book of Mark, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus looking at them in the book of Mark again, with men, this is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible. And again, he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. See, Moses was able to cross the Red Sea because he was obeying a direct commandment of God. This was God's will that they did this. One point we made at the beginning of this chapter about faith is that faith must be built on truth in order for it to be faith. Sometimes Christians are frustrated in their faith because they get an idea or they have a mission that God didn't necessarily command them to do, and they fail. And they say, well, God didn't deliver. Well, my friend, if God didn't command it, and God didn't promise it, that's not biblical faith. That's a wish. It's presumption. But if God commanded it and God promised it, you can trust your life to it. Exodus chapter 14, I'm going to turn back there and read what it says. I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. God commanded them to do this. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground and through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow you. And I'll get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon the host of all his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am God, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and his horsemen. See, God was going to judge. God was going to provide. He was going to send them. But he was going to do it because he commanded. When God commands and we step out to obey the commandments of God by faith, we can claim the truth. You know the truth. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's when we're obeying the commandments of God, Christian. That's not just any personal agenda or goal that you have. I want to be able to run a mile in 6 minutes. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, if that's true, then everybody in this room should be able to do it. Ain't going to happen. God didn't necessarily, excuse my English, didn't necessarily command you to run a mile in 6 minutes. But he commanded us to do many things in his scripture, and through his power, we can. See, God did command the Egyptians to cross the Red Sea. Excuse me. He did command Israel to cross the Red Sea. Did he command Egypt to cross the Red Sea? No. So when they tried to do it, were they successful? No. No, they died. Okay. Be sure the cause that you pursue, the obstacle you're seeking to overcome, is the will of God. And by the way, the will of God is revealed in the Word of God. And it may seem impossible to obey God's commandments in your life. You might be faced with a Red Sea this morning. And you look at this and you say, but nobody's ever done this. Nobody had ever walked across the Red Sea. Nobody had ever built an ark when Noah did that. And nobody has since. But if God commanded it, wait for his direction, follow his direction, trust in his power, and see the power of God. God can help you do the impossible. And very quickly, this is the last thing that Moses, he benefited from this. Look at verse 30 and 31. Verse 30. This is amazing when I read this. This is really the closing chapter to his fearless faith. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. His fearless faith fostered faith in the people of God. Now, with the close of the book of Exodus, his leadership was over. He passed the reins to his successor, Joshua, and Joshua went on to lead the children of Israel into the promised land and really to conquer her first obstacle, Jericho, that great walled city. But the way that they conquered it was not with a trebuchet. God could have given them that. He could have told them how to build a catapult. Okay, he didn't. The way they conquered it was by simply obeying commandments and then letting God fight the battle. Their battle plan involved no fighting until God had brought the walls down. So what gave them the faith to do this outlandish battle plan that nobody had ever done before? Nobody walks around cities and just, no speaking. They walked around it once a day for 7 days following the priests, and there was no talking. They were not allowed to talk. All right, some of us would struggle with that. We'd be grumbling about the blisters on our sandals and stuff, you know. No talking. And then on the last day, they walked around 7 times. Some of us would have been grumbling by that point. Pastor, this plan is not working. I've not seen one brick fall out of that wall. Have faith in God. And then they all were supposed to scream and shout. And some of us would have been nonconformists. I don't know. I want to. This is not working now. But they did. And what happened? God brought the walls down. Amen. How did they have that faith? Well, they did so because Moses' fearless faith continued to influence beyond his life. Deuteronomy is the record of 2 sermons that he preached based on the law. Leviticus is the law. Deuteronomy from deus and namas, meaning 2 and law. He preached 2 sermons in the second giving of the law. And several times in the book of Deuteronomy, he tells them, fear not, fear not, fear not, 5 times. And with the closing of that book of Deuteronomy, you know what he tells them? He says that their children, which have not known anything, you weren't in Egypt, but that you'll hear the word of God and may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. The same thing that allowed him to serve God, a lack of fear in man and a great fear of God, he knew that's what the people needed to go into the promised land, and he lived it. See, his example of fearless faith, it impacted Israel. He didn't just say it, he lived it, and guess what? The people caught it. He wasn't perfect. The people weren't perfect. But under the leadership of Moses, they learned to fear God. When somebody has fearless faith, some people are going to call them crazy. That person's crazy. They'll charge hell with a squirt gun. You know, they're just, that doesn't seem like they have good judgment. If God commanded them to do it, and they're doing it, some people are going to call them crazy. But you know what else? Other people are going to say, man, maybe there's something to that. I want a cause to live for. Do you know folks are looking for a cause to live for today? People are devoting their life for the weirdest causes. Save the whale, save the fish, save the owl. Go protest about this, go protest about that. Devoting their life. You know, there are people who have gotten, you know, you heard about Kobe Bryant and the tragic crash in the helicopter. There are people getting those dates and sayings tattooed on their body to honor Kobe Bryant in this thing. Devoting your life. Tattoos are permanent, okay? Devoting your life to that? Folks are looking for a cause to live for. And when you have fearless faith, Christian, when you live that way, the world around us says there's got to be something to that. Maybe I need to know that God. See, people need this. Your family needs it. The world around you, your colleagues, your employees, your neighbors need you to live your fearless faith for them to catch it. Because they don't see the God who is invisible. But friend, if you obey him and you've seen his blessings in your life and you've seen his power and you know that he's greater and you don't have a fear of man, you know where they see God? They see him in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says, and the fearless faith that we ought to have, if we live it out, it's going to catch. If you're a normal human being, you do struggle with some fear of man. We do. I struggle with anxiety sometimes. Your pastor, I'll confess, for a long time I struggled with anxiety over making phone calls. I never wanted to call people on the phone. I have anxiety over that. I would have to make phone calls and I'd be like, I can't read body language. I don't know if I'm inconveniencing them. And when phone calls would come in, if I didn't know who it was, I wouldn't answer it. I don't know what it's about. You say, that's crazy. Yeah, no, whatever. We have to overcome those things. We struggle with some degree the fear of man. Now, I've since overcome that, and I call people all the time and harass them. You know how we overcome the fear of man? You take small steps of faith. You begin to see God work. You allow your fear of God to grow, your fear of man to shrink. And when your faith in God grows, your fear of God will grow and your obedience to God will blossom. Let me ask you this. Is there a step of obedience in your life that seems to bring you up against a Red Sea? Maybe God has called you to do something. You're aware of a command of Scripture. And you say, I just can't do it because there's this Red Sea. It's impossible, Pastor. God wants me to do this. I can't do it. If God has commanded you to do it and promised, stay faithful. Even when you can't see a way out, stay faithful. Allow God to make the way out. If He can part the Red Sea, He can take care of the obstacles in your path, Christian, and mine. Now, I'm not minimizing our problems, but I'm saying greater is He that is in you. With God, how many things are possible? All things. And then finally, your words of faith need an example of fearless faith. See, the world around us is searching for something to live for, to give their life to. And when believers live their life sold out to the world, when believers live their life sold out to the Lord, some people are going to call you crazy. They're crazy. They're just a little bit off. It's okay. Most people who lead others are thought of as crazy a little bit. Moses was called crazy, but you know what? His fearless leadership, it ignited faith in the people of God who followed him. When the world's headed off a cliff, remember this. When the world is headed off a cliff, the guy headed the other direction is called crazy. But we're called to reach people for Christ. Let's have fearless faith this morning. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word. I pray that, God, it's been an encouragement to folks today. We need to have a right perspective of who You are, that our faith in You would grow, that our fear of man would shrink. Help us, dear Lord, to recognize that with You all things are possible, that our fear of You would cause us to be holy, to search favor with You, not to take refuge in the fickle approval of the world, not to believe that lie, but to believe that You are the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I pray, God, that You'd help us to live out our faith before the world. Many people need to know You, and our life needs to back up our testimony. Meet with us this morning, Lord. Work in our hearts. If You've touched hearts today, God, I pray that we would respond. In Your name I pray, amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? If God has spoken to your heart, friend, talk to the Lord. With eyes closed and heads bowed, maybe one here this morning, you'd say, Pastor, I don't know that I even know God. I believe that He exists, but I don't know much more about Him. I want a relationship with Him. Friend, I can tell you this, God wants a relationship with you more. He loves you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for you, paid for your sins. He paid the debt necessary. He rose from the dead and offers you life if you simply trust Him. If you'll believe Him, ask Him for salvation. You can have a relationship with God. You can live in this faith. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, talk to Him. If you need help or you need prayer, I'm right here. If you're a man, I'll put you with a man. If you're a lady, I'll put you with a lady. As the piano plays...